Please remember, this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please, only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another Wild in Bed. Your destination for salacious stories, sensual satisfaction, and finger-licking good fantasies. Now, as you enjoy tonight's chapter reading from Lamb to the Slaughter, you can know you can enjoy even more intense pleasure and unlimited satisfaction by coming to see me at wilddesires.com, where you can test ride your own fantasies just for coming. Now, you know this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. So just put your earbuds in, close your eyes, and surrender to the pleasure of my voice moving over and inside you. And when you're ready to enjoy deep, sensuous pleasure, just go ahead and take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. Then release it with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress. For the next 30 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time to relax, your time for sensuous satisfaction, your time to release that inner woman. As you listen to my voice and enjoy the chapter from Lamb to the Slaughter. Chapter 17, Diane. A comfortable chair, he promised. Deep cushions. This swivel chair is doing nothing for the sting still burning between my thighs. No matter how much I move or shift, I just cannot get comfortable. It's not the pain that's the problem so much. As I'm a woman, I've worked through pain all my life. Oh, this is lust. Full, undivided, torturous lust. Focusing for a moment on the single file on the old mahogany desk to distract from the salacious thoughts parading through my mind. Gone are the days of an avalanche of Manila every morning. One case, one child, one focus. Everything depends on Joseph. How much weight can be carried on a little man's shoulders? He is a genuinely good kid. One who's made some bad choices, sure, but who hasn't? Who could honestly say that in his situation, they wouldn't have done the same? Having watched his mother raped and sister murdered, who wouldn't be willing to commit the ultimate act of protection for someone else they loved? Context and intention are everything, and Joseph's intentions are nothing but good. More so than most other people. Even at his young age, he has an honour about him that's rare to see. With my silver fountain pen twirling through my fingers, for no other reason than to pass the time and stop thinking with my pussy. Not 20 feet away, Joseph is having his first therapy session because of confidentiality, to ensure his trust in Dominic, but ultimately, I suspect, because I am still a state prosecutor, I am not invited. I must wait until the end, and then I will be summoned. I can see the potential conflict of interest, but it doesn't stop the desire I feel building to help Joseph, to protect him, even from the justice system that I love so much. That is the real conflict of interest. After an eternity of silence, the desk phone chimes and I answer on the first ring.
Miss Hightower, would you care to come to my office?
Sweet mother of fuck, does he absolutely do that deliberately? Playing some sexual game of cat and mouse with me? There are lots of words he could use in place of come, but oh no. He uses the word knowing full well that my pussy is now on high alert and weeping with excitement.
lustful intent and interrogation floods from his voice with every damn word he speaks. Will I ever understand how he does that? Will I ever understand how to deal with it? Like some schoolgirl with a bad crush on her headmaster, I grab my notepad and pen and rush to his office, well aware that I am walking in an extremely strange way to stop my panties from rubbing my clit. But right now, I don't care. I need to keep focused. There is no damn way I am going to let my dirty little mind stop me from doing the best for Joseph that I possibly can. Come. The word that I'm learning to hate resonates through my body before my last knock on the door. I slide the door open and move through the gap in as dignified a manner as possible. Ms. Hightower, have a seat. His eyes watch my every move, penetrating me as I stand there like some naughty schoolgirl, waiting for her punishment. It's okay, I respond firmly. I'll stand. There is no way on earth I am giving him the pleasure to see my discomfort. He knows already, I'm sure of it. And I'm not confirming his effect for him. Very well, then. Whatever makes you comfortable, Joseph and I have been discussing some of the events in his past and the challenges they create. We have also discussed the events of the unfortunate night recently. Joseph is aware of the pain losing a family member can cause and is very sorry for that. However, he genuinely believed his girlfriend was in mortal danger and would do the same again. He feels a strong desire to apologize and explain the circumstances to Judge Holland and exactly what happened, in order to ease his pain. As a prosecutor, I would value your involvement on discussing this. Of course. Suddenly I feel like a gooseberry on a date. It is painfully obvious Dominic's priority is for the children. I know it's the right thing, and that's his job. But I'm damned if I don't suddenly feel a stab of jealousy. I wish he was that protective of me. He'll clearly fight everyone in the system before he lets these children come to harm, including me. For the first time since entering the room, I turn to face Joseph. His expression of tentative hope overwhelms me. Fighting the sting in my eyes for an innocent life gone wrong, I take a breath and then another, refusing to let it show in my voice and shatter any hope. An idea hits me, an idea I've seen used in past cases. Joseph, would you consider writing a letter?
I can't write, Miss. You said in court he's a good man, a man of justice. If he could look in my eyes, he could see the truth in my heart.
After all this poor boy has been through, he still wants to believe that everyone is basically good. If only he realized just how ugly and cruel this world really is. What a sorry life the world has planned for you, Joseph.
I can't advise against meeting strongly enough, Joseph. You would be in an automatic breach of the conditions of your license and would, in all honesty, probably end up in prison within hours, especially with Judge Holland. I think a letter to the court would be best in this case. Judge Holland would see a copy. We, desperately emphasizing that Dominic and I are a we, will help you write it.
Hope drops from the young boy's eyes, replaced by the pain of tears.
But, Miss, you won't see what's in my heart. If it's just words on the page, he will, Joseph. I truly believe this is the best way.
Okay. He responds, his voice dropping into some cavernous hole of desperation. He turns to Dominic with hopelessness and despair in his dark eyes.
Can I go back to my room? I'm feeling tired.
Dominic nods. Of course, Joseph.
Thank you for your honesty. Watching Joseph leave with his shoulders slumped in disappointment, we wait for a few minutes to make sure he is gone before we speak. Joseph is racked with guilt, Miss Hightower. Dominic finally says with a low grumble in his voice that almost sounds sympathetic. In his culture, they firmly believe in truth showing through a person's eyes. He feels that it is the only way to rid himself of the guilt. I have suggested alternatives, but I am very convinced he may try to follow up on it, with or without our consent. Can't you make him stay? Keep him within the home, lock the doors maybe? Incredulous that a young man can't be kept in control when so much depends on it. A young, innocent life depends on it. The future of CNE depends on it. My future depends on it. That would make us a prison, he answers with authority. It is also an important part of the rehabilitation process that they make their own choices and are free to act upon them. They enjoy or suffer the consequences. Many of the young people under my stewardship are depressed. And despite what you might believe, depression is an environmental ailment, caused when people feel they have lost control of their lives. I give them back their control. Gradually, of course. But their lives become their own again. The evening sun is setting through one of the few windows that adorn this room. Amid the different shades of light, I wonder if all the answers are somewhere in all the beautiful streaks of red and yellow. Answers, solutions, resolutions. Are they out there somewhere? I blink and turn back to a silent Dominic. I need to think. I need to get a better feel for the situation with Joseph. At the moment, everything is coming through Dominic. And I need to get my own take on things. I need to see where all this happened, to absorb it, to do my job. Then what do we do? I finally ask, well aware my voice sounds distracted. We wait, he responded with power and command, and we watch. I will stay here tonight. If Joseph is going to do anything daft, it will probably be tonight. You obviously have some thinking to do. But could I suggest that you don't go back to the scene of the crime? Which is where I suspect you are probably going to go now. It is an extremely dangerous area, and the unfortunate events have made it more so now. Jesus fucking Christ. How the hell did he know that? Am I that predictable? Is he a mind reader? Thank you for your concern, Dominic, but I'm well aware of the dangers out there. With the pangs of jealousy still stabbing at me, I feel a sudden need to prove I can protect myself. As you wish, then, just be aware that you are relatively new to this city. It may still afford you some surprises. Shit, it already has. I can't quite describe the tension that fills the air, but it certainly has a touch of menace to it. There is sure as hell something he isn't telling me, and I need to find out. If curiosity killed the cat, I wonder what it can do to a kitten. Ruefully, I smile before we say our goodbyes and I leave. Resolute in my action. Resolute in my decision. Diane, the alley at the back of Dirty Nellie's is a well-used shortcut for people wanting to move through the city quickly. It is also a haven for prostitutes and drug dealers to carry out their dubious trade. Fire escapes hang from the night sky, a canopy of dismal still over the darkness of the alley, the remaining drops from an earlier shower dripping heavily onto the tarmac below. Shadows move and vanish, watching me as I edge warily along the alley. Maybe coming here in daylight would have been a better idea. But I wanted to get a feel for it. And since that night, Joseph Shoresh and Craig Halland met with fatal consequences. In truth, I know I need to prove to myself that I need no protection. The same abandonedness sand that Craig had thrown Joseph's girlfriend on remains a haunted carcass of a vehicle. Taking a moment to absorb the scene, to put myself where Joseph was on that night. The bang of dumper bins behind me shatters my thoughts. Looks like this little lady might be lost, boss. You reckon we should give her some directions? Shadows dance around me, leaving the alley in virtual pitch blackness. There might be 6, maybe 10. I can't make them out well enough. Fumbling with my purse, I grab for the pistol I always keep ready, just as I feel the stinging pain at the back of my head. Don't want to be doing that, but thanks. We'll add your pretty little pistol to our collection. I'm sure the girls might have a use for it. A second stinging pain burns like white fire into the back of my knees and I fall to the ground, my purse emptying beside me. Oh, what do we have here? His voice is raspy, reminding me of gritty sandpaper or heavy smoking. A mask and a vibrator? Well, aren't we the kinky little bitch? You're in for a good night. The faceless voices sneer. Fuck you. I'm a state prosecutor, asshole. My warning doesn't make them back off. It does just the opposite as they step closer. Tonight just gets better and better. We're going to have some state prosecutor cunt tonight, boys. He says with a cynical giddiness prevalent in his voice, fighting the iron veil of unconsciousness as the footsteps grow nearer. I feel a warm streak of blood bubbling through my hair after another strike to the back of my head. Stumbling forward, my cheek strikes to the ground hard, cushioned only by a pool of foul-smelling urine, overwhelming my senses. Darkness begins to descend as I feel myself losing this battle. In my last moments of consciousness, I hear the sounds of footsteps in front of me, and a low growl echoing somewhere behind me. So this is how it ends, in a back alley. Gang raped before I'm murdered. Another beautiful statistic for the city, I think to myself, wondering if I should even try to scream. And suddenly I'm thinking of my mother, my father, my best friend in law school, and of Dominic. I think I feel myself beginning to sob as an icy numbness slides over my body like a soft blanket. And everything starts to go dark. Is this what dying feels like? Is this all there is? Well, I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger there. Yes, because I'm feeling that way. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's episode. And you can get chapter 18 next week. So I look forward to getting wild in bed with you again on Monday. But for now, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams. Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.